Confederacy of dopes. Toronto Raptors. Scotty B. We the North, baby.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Confederacy of Dunks basketball podcast. This is episode 300, and I want to say 20, but I'm wrong. It's episode 314. Hey, or 15, maybe. Yeah, 15. Okay, 315. We got there. I'm your host, Andy Hull. With me is our co-host, our interim Freddy replacement. Give it up, even if you're at home, for Brendan Halloran. Brendan, what's happening?
Hey, it's great to be here. It's exciting to be here. Hey, for the first time since I joined this podcast in mid-January, it's actually exciting to be talking Raptors ball on a Raptors podcast. Let's go.
It is.
Yeah, we had a lot of, I was clued into a lot of messages we had from the Scotty Hive that we were not particularly nice to Scotty Barnes last week. Also, in the intro to this song, he's the only Raptor name checked. This is not an anti-Scotty Barnes podcast. No. This is very pro-Scotty Barnes podcast, but, like, our guy had just walked out on the team while the game was still going on. I mean, we have to address the things that we see.
Yeah, exactly. And no one was giving up on Scotty. We weren't like, ugh, screw this guy forever.
Yeah.
We were simply discussing an issue that was happening that week, and that's what happens with sports media. But guess what? All I see is engagement, so we're good. We're fine.
It's all funny. I see is numbers.
That's it. All I see is money signs. So our beloved Toronto Raptors, we got three in a row. We got pizza, baby.
Let's go. Where do you think we're getting the pizza from? I know a lot of people have been weighing in.
Yes. Yeah. I heard some people say Brooklyn is the place that they think because it's like a fancy pizza place here.
Brooklyn, yeah, north of Brooklyn.
Something like that. Not for me, though. I think the Raptors are going classic Pizza Nova.
Let's go. They're getting a classic Brendo special, which is, for those of you who don't know, which is probably fucking everybody on this.
It's for sure everyone.
It is. I have a special pizza that all my friends know me for. It is green pepper, pepperoni, and bacon strips. Not bits, strips. It's a really nice combination. Try it out sometime. Get it as thin as you can.
It's a simple pie, but it's very good.
Yeah.
I think they're probably getting some kind of fancy pizza, but, like, really, I think the best chain Toronto slice is Pizza Nova.
Yeah, I think it is still the chain. Like, I've moved on to a couple of, like, bespoke places that are just like that are not a chain. They're just like their own spots.
Yeah,
I'll shout one out. There's this one at the end of my street. It's called One Night Only. It's on Pape, if you live in Toronto. Pape, just south of Danforth. It's, it's very perfect. Good. So good,
I know there's one. I don't know where it is anymore. I feel like we all had it at Duras's wedding. Big Man Pizza or something? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
That place is incredible. Very, very good. Very, very good slices there. And Makers is great if you're out here in the in the sort of west-ish end here. I'm a big Pizza Nova guy. Who do you think gets the weirdest pizza on the Raptors? I was thinking about this because they asked Darko what pizza he likes the most, and he said, like, I like margarita pizza the best. and I was like, like classic Italian, I like the, you know. So, yeah, and I love a margarita.
He said it a little more Italian in that one.
He sounded more Italian in the clip I heard.
Hey, well, that's why I'm doing it that way. When we're talking about pizza, we all sound Italian, baby.
He sounded Italian. Who's getting the bizarre slice? Who's getting the anchovies? Or who's getting, like, I don't know. I don't even know.
It's got to be Boucher. They got to do something different in Quebec, you know?
Yeah, there's some Montreal slice he gets.
There's definitely something going on there.
He's ordering from Boston Pizza. He's getting the pierogi pizza, which, hey, listen, I'm making fun of it in this moment, but it's actually really good. Okay,
are you a Boston Pizza guy? I don't think I've ever had a pizza from Boston Pizza. I don't think I've even ever eaten at a Boston Pizza.
You've never eaten at a Boston Pizza?
No,
that's strange to me.
Is it?
But yeah, when Boston Pizza was new, didn't you like go all the time? I did.
No.
No? Oh my God. No,
I always thought it looked bad. I don't know. They're not a sponsor of any of this stuff, are they?
No.
Only in the case, then they're great. I love them.
No. FanDuel only. FanDuel makes great pizza if you can get
FanDuel has the logo is in the shape of a slice.
Of a pizza. Yeah, exactly. No, Boston Pizza, when it first came out, me and my family would go all the time because it was like, hey, a new restaurant. Mm. But we never got the pizza. We would always get like the other, you know, whatever other food, sandwiches and stuff. And then someone told me way later that like, hey, you know, Boston Pizza's pizza is actually pretty good. And I was like, I never considered even getting the pizza at a place called Boston Pizza, you know, which is weird. They're all frozen though. They're not like actually good, but like if you're going to get a pizza from there and you get one of them and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is okay.
Yeah. You're saying fuck them. I hear you loud and clear.
I am kind of saying fuck them and fuck the Trilliving family as a whole kind of. That guy used to be a cop. Who cares? Forget him. But yeah, what an exciting time. We're back, baby. We're back to talking about wins against
wins.
Good teams, even though maybe their players had bad games. That's fine.
That's fine. Listen, these are three games that if you are going to move up in the standings, you need to win. You have 100%. To beat Atlanta. You have to beat the Nets. You have to beat the Pacers. We almost beat the Pacers the previous time that we played them. But, you know, we had some inexperience late, and it kind of showed, and they beat us. But now look at us. We're 3.5 games back from the play-in spot. A situation that last week, the week previous, the previous week to that, I did not really anticipate that we were going to be in. Now, we should take this with like the hugest grain of salt because the schedule coming up is pretty challenging.
It's rough.
We do not have like the hardest schedule going forward. I think I looked it up and we have like the 17th hardest schedule, but we are playing a lot of top teams. We have a lot of solid playoff teams that we have to beat in order to sort of maintain this momentum. And when you're down this much, it feels like you have to pedal twice as hard to get up the hill. And because we have to jump, two teams to get into the play-in. But also, Trae Young out with an injury now. So perhaps Atlanta, not much to play for. We'll start shutting it down. You kind of hope that maybe a couple of these teams will start shutting it down a little bit, but the play-in does make sure that that people are going full force, and that's exactly what the Raptors are going to do, and that's what I think is the most compelling reason to watch them down the stretch is that they're not really going to shut it down or, pivot for draft position or start playing for next year. I think that they're going to ride guys as hard as they can into this final stretch, and we'll see what happens. I mean, once you get into the play-in, especially with this team, Scotty can get hot. Scotty Barnes is a great player, everybody. He's very good.
He's very, very good. We do love Scotty. He is good. He had a triple-double last night and five blocks, too?
Five blocks, which are much more impressive than those Victor Wembanyama dunks.
Absolutely.
That I was shitting on. A couple weeks ago. That's hard. It's much harder.
That's hard.
Blocking threes, and he does not have, he doesn't, 10-foot arms.
Yes, exactly. No, it was a very, like, so much about last night. It wasn't some blowout or something, but it was exciting to see a lot of what happened last night in that, and we're talking about the Pacers game here, just in case, but where you had this thing where I thought IQ and Scotty were like really, the chemistry is really starting to come together for those two guys, I think, and that's a lot of the buzz that's in and around the team right now, as we're starting to see quickly like get in there, and like his the whole team was just sort of working around these guys. And RJ, who's like the other sort of part of this whole offensive triad we have here, is also playing so well. And it's very exciting to watch him. And like, it's like the media kind of goes back and forth on these types of stories, whether it's IQ and Scotty or just Scotty alone. And then, but then they like, kind of like I've noticed that like not as many stories about RJ, but like RJ's having a great time right now, just so strong, getting in the basket, like really just not forcing it in a negative way, but really forcing what he wants to do with the ball, and like it's so exciting to see it. And then I was talking to Freddie, actually. Freddie and I drove to an audition today together, so we were just talking Raptors. We talked about his like new kid for like 10 minutes, and then it was just Raptors the whole rest of it. So like, we should have just recorded that podcast and then had it as like a bonus. But yeah, we were just talking about how getting the moves that, you know, were made here, getting Kelly and like Oche and these guys, like, is just, man, it's night and day. Like, you know, I'm not saying this team is automatically like a playoff team or something like that, but it's just, it's, you're seeing the development, you're seeing guys being able to breathe almost, you know? And like, we have a bench now that can come on, and these guys can come in and like, they have their own thing going on almost, you know, like we're all playing within this system, obviously, but like they've got their own, you know, vibe to them. When you get Kelly, when you get Grady out there, like now all of a sudden, like these are guys that you can rely on for like points, you know, like they're not just, I don't know, they're not just like plugging the holes and like hoping the ship doesn't sink. You know what I mean? They're just, they're out there doing stuff and they're out there making shit happen. And it's exciting. It's exciting to watch that. And honestly, I don't care if the team goes 500 for the rest of the season or even less than that. And we start losing. It's just nice to see that, okay, we have a bit of an identity now. These guys are starting to gel and come together and we're seeing it pay off. It's nice to see.
Absolutely. Especially when that identity is sharing the ball and moving it around really nicely. I saw a lot of great breakdowns online today of, you know, of Grady and Kelly Olynyk and Scotty Barnes working off of each other to create different looks for each other, which is really great to see. Kelly Olynyk really coming in and stabilizing the bench. It feels like it feels like the second coming of Marc Gasol. Perhaps he's not as good defensively, but he does shoot a little bit better.
Yeah.
But just like a very solid, savvy veteran presence.
Veteran presence.
Come in, calm things down, make the right reads, make the right passes, hit down shots when he has to hit down shots. It's been really nice to see that coming in on the bench. You mentioned RJ. RJ's averaging career highs now. And the knock against RJ coming in was that his efficiency was not very good, that he could sometimes get a little tunnel vision-y. And we have not really seen that with the Raptors so much. There's been a few off games, but like, as I said, he's averaging career highs across the board. And I know that that Knicks fans will say that comes and goes a little bit, but I'm just wondering if like, I'm like, what is the sample size that we need to see to say that, oh, we actually have like a better version full time of RJ. He's played 21 games. Is it now? It feels like now. It feels like we kind of have a good sense of what he looks like in this system. I think it plays for him a little bit better. He can get downhill a little bit more and cut a lot more. We this offense cuts all over the place. So yeah, it feels really good. Like, I don't know, winning makes you feel good, right? So like, it's very easy. The team is not significantly different than it was last week at this time, but you string it together a couple of wins and it just takes the pressure off everything. So maybe perhaps we're being a little too like, everything is great and Kelly Olynyk's the best.
Well, you sure heard. I mean, this is the beginning of, this is the way we're at the beginning of the season when the Raptors were like 500, but like we were beating, like, you know, we were beating Milwaukee and stuff like that. We were like, whoa, this team is exciting. Look out. Yeah. Malachi Flynn, you know, this does feel different than that because that was, you know, obviously that's a team we knew really well and we'd seen a lot more out of those guys. Whereas now we had these moves and, you know, we know RJ, IQ, these guys, we know they're good players, but there is this question of, okay, like right away their impact is this, but like, what's it going to be going forward? Obviously the team is under 500 and like, we're, you know, not really a play-in team even at this point. So you got to start asking questions, and that's what basketball podcasts do. That's what sports media does. When that's the situation your team is in, then you got to look and ask questions and be like, what's going on with this? When we're winning, it's like, it's so much easier to just talk about stuff and just be excited about it. And sometimes I can seem maybe overexcited, but guess what? Who cares? It's fun. It's more fun that way. I was talking to Freddie about RJ specifically, and you kind of brought it up there that like in New York, he has this reputation and, you know, being the third pick overall, then like coming in, like, I think we forget, well, maybe they don't, but we do, that like New York, what a crazy franchise it is to play for the Knicks, right? There must have been so much pressure on RJ to come in and have this, you know, be the third pick overall, have this huge impact on the team. And anytime the Knicks are looking like they're going to be at all good, New York fans lose their mind about it, and rightfully so, you know, because they're big obviously huge basketball fans. They love it.
Great.
They lose their friggin' minds about it. And it's like, and it's everything. So if you show that, and then all of a sudden, you know, you do have some time where it's not happening like that, and your team starts to lose a few games, then it's like the criticism almost comes back in the same, or even, you know, even more so. Right. So it's a tough city to play in. It's honestly, I think it's crazy that, I don't always think of the Knicks, and New York in general as like one of the big basketball markets. I know it is. Like, I know it is in my head. Of course, you know, it's New York City. How could it not be the Knicks? But you think of Lakers, you think of the Celtics, like even like with the recent history, because the Knicks haven't been good for so long, you think like maybe some people even like think like the Heat, you know, Miami, that's like been obviously like a basketball destination for great players. And they've had a lot of great teams and stuff, but the Knicks haven't been good for so long that we're just kind of like, oh yeah, the Knicks, they're not very good. But to you we're seeing it now, you know, they make the OG trade, and all of a sudden, and they, you know, they got their guy, right? Like Brunson is their guy for sure. And they're playing well, and they're in the playoffs discussion, of course. And like, it's nuts there, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, some players flourish under that, and some players get unjustly criticized under those circumstances. And maybe that just wasn't the situation for RJ to flourish it. And you can be tough on that if you want. You can say he's not mentally tough enough to deal with that. That might be correct. But that doesn't change the fact that if he goes to another place, he can flourish. And hopefully that's what's happening here at the Raptors. I think that is what's happening.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just like, it's, you know, there's more motion for him. There's more room to operate. He's not standing around watching, you know, Julius Randle with, you know, ISO. I think there's just a little bit more room for him to operate, to cut, to get involved in the offense, to move around. And I think that's been largely beneficial for him. So he's not just standing there having to catch and shoot all the time. Another thing I've noticed during the stretch that I have no stats to back this up whatsoever.
We're not big stats guys.
We're not big stats guys. This is just purely anecdotal.
Yeah.
But from watching games, I would bet that by the end of this year, Emmanuel Quickley is going to have the most, I don't even know what to call them, but like walk-off shots, or basically like walk-off three-pointers.
Okay, yep.
Where basically he hits a three-pointer and the other team calls a timeout and he's skipping back down the court as they've called a timeout. It has happened so many times. More than any other Raptors player, he's the guy. It's like when he shoots, the other team is about to call a timeout because he has these like huge momentum swinging. He can hit these huge momentum swinging shots. I wish there was a way to quantify it. I wish there was something to call it. But I have noticed it in every single game is that at least maybe once or twice a game, he has hit a shot and the other team's just been like, timeout. And that it is so satisfying. And I love that is his. I'm going to come up with a clever name for it. We will talk about it. We will mention it when we see it.
We will identify it. We will label it.
But I want to put it out there. If anybody has an idea for what that name could be, what that type of play is. Walk-off is the only thing
walk-off like it indicates like in baseball that it's over, right? Like it's actually
totally but like, you know, to be fair here, all of the players are walking off the court right now to go to the timeout.
That's true So maybe it's more of a literal meaning.
Yeah, it's not a literal thing, but like I'm sure somebody, I'll try to come up with something more clever, but it's just something I noticed last night. I think it happened twice.
The skip away.
Yeah.
That's just for him though. If it's a hit a three, other team calls a timeout. What's that play? What's that called?
Yes. What is that?
A must pause situation.
we gotta talk about it. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. We'll sort of, you know, we'll shoot some things around. We'll brainstorm off air, perhaps. Let's talk about the bench a little bit. Let's talk about the Grady Dick coming in and being a real factor in these games, and seeing him, seeing him develop, obviously, since, you know, that beginning of the season where it was like, this guy's, you know, the franchise was very much like, this guy's going to play real minutes for us. We expect him to come in and be this impact player. It was very clear he didn't belong, you know, on the court for those minutes. goes down, obviously, stand with the G League, 905. Now he's up, and it's like, this is a crazy, to me, I mean, obviously, he's not, listen, this guy's not, you know, scoring 50 points a game, but this is a pretty, like, a very impressive turnaround. I really think so. And turnaround. He's a developing player. It's not a turnaround. But it is, I think, remarkable in that we should remark upon it that he has that he's earned his way back onto the team in a regular bench spot and is being relied on to do what he does, you know, make these huge shots.
Yeah, it's, you know, he moves without the ball well. He can pass, he can play make. And now he's hitting the shots that he had to hit. He was just not knocking down shots before, and now he's hitting open shots. He's hitting contested shots. And I think the real like credit is to Grady Dick and also the developmental process of the Toronto Raptors. Raptors have taken a lot of shit recently for their developmental process, not really like developing any late round guys that can come in and solidify the team. And so we had Grady. Grady's like a mid pick, and atrocious start to the season. But nobody seemed to panic. They sent him down to the G League, and to his credit, Grady went down, worked on his game, went to the G League, came back up. And I think that that patience, that level of patience that Masai always talks about, and you, we all don't like to talk about because it's very hard to be patient. Yeah. I think that level of patience throughout the organization has really shown, and I think that this is a developmental win, even though Grady was supposed to be was supposed to be on track from this right away. But I think that there is an alternate path that the team could have taken where they keep him up and he just kind of gets buried a little bit and his confidence sags even more. And he's not even a factor now, but I think that they identified pretty early what was necessary. And took the really good developmental steps that may feel like a bit of a, like, you know, this might hurt this guy's ego a bit, or he might hurt his confidence to be like, I'm the 13th pick in the draft, and now I'm playing in the G League in 2 months. I think it was a really smart path that they put him on, and it's paid off, and you love to see when the patience pays off.
And think about it, like, at the beginning of the season, think about who's on the Raptors bench. You've got Gary, you got Precious, and that's kind of it a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, and then you're looking at Grady Dick, and that's, like, not to say that that's too much pressure. Tons of guys come in and sort of, you know, sit in that spot on the bench, but it's like we there's not a ton to go to there. You're always seeing, like, you know, Scotty plus whoever else from the bench, and they were just kind of working around the starter that was still on the court at the time. Whereas now it really feels like, with, like I was saying earlier, like Kelly Olynyk, obviously this, you got a veteran guy coming in, knows what he's doing. Oche's coming in looking great, and Grady, and you know, I mean, Gary had a good defensive night last night. That helps. These guys, Brown as well, obviously, but like this guys all together, they've meshed together. And I think, I mean, obviously, but I think that, like, it's so much easier to work from the bench when you're being trusted that much, you know. I mean, right now in Toronto sports, there's a whole thing about, and there has been with the Raptors for a long time, this is the whole criticism about Nick Nurse is playing your starters way too long, obviously, but like, the Leafs have this going on right now. The Raptors have it, where it's like, but the Raptors are kind of the inverse, where it's like the Leafs weren't playing their guys enough, and we just didn't have guys to play in the Raptors. So, but now it's like, now we're seeing the bench step up because we have these players. We've made a couple moves, and now they're really doing their thing. And this, I mean, the same is true for the Leafs now. The seems as though their coach has also trusted their, like, sort of third and fourth line guys. But it's so. I mean, obviously the moves that we've made here are the reasons we can start to rely on these guys a bit more, and they're really starting to gel. It's just nice to see. It's just so nice to see.
It's just nice to see. It's nice to see defined roles, and feels a lot more like a team, like a full team, than it did, you know, even at the beginning of the season, where it felt like a collection of talented players and nobody really knew what was happening.
And that's not to knock the guys that we've traded, I think, right? Like, we're not talking about, I'm not talking like Pascal and OG, if there's any kind of negative thing about those guys. Like, I mean, those guys are who they are. They're great players. You know, they're, it's just that I feel like when you've got a thing, when you're in a situation where it's like, we need to get young guys and develop them, especially around, you know, Scotty and your big draft pick and Grady, like now you want these guys to be able to see real minutes and be a part of this thing and learn in within the system. And I think, maybe when you have these brighter stars who have been here from a championship even and been here for that long, it just is, it can be a weird dynamic. And so I'm obviously we were all sad to see those players we love be traded. But that's the reality of the business. And now we're here and it seems like we're on a good path here, you know, in the last couple of games.
Definitely. It's incredibly hard in the NBA to bridge eras. So
yes,
and that's really what it felt like we were trying to do. And it's incredibly difficult to do that. I think, like, you know, you look at Golden State, that has not been a smooth transition from era to era. That's sort of, you know, I think as much as you try to transition from an older era into a younger one, you tend to hang on to the older one for a little bit too long. And then you just have to pivot all the way back to the new era. And so it's really great that they didn't end up making these trades. You know, I think we're probably a better team with Pascal Siakam on our team, but like it didn't make sense timeline wise and long term wise. Sure. So it is nice that we just transitioned back this way. I think it's really beneficial to have no one's contractual status hanging over a cloud, like over the team, even though Emmanuel quickly is going to be an RFA and will command some sort of, like $25 million contract or something. It's not undoable. It's not an albatross. It's not something that needs to be addressed. It's probably something that's going to get figured out, you know, pending some sort of like dumb offer sheet from somebody else.
Right.
So it's just nice to know that, these are the players, this is the team, this is what's happening going forward. We'll see what happens with Gary, but like, you know, no one's losing sleep about what's going to happen with Gary. We'll see what happens with IQ. No one's losing sleep about what's going to happen with IQ. So, really nice to be sort of free of those questions after having them hang around for a long time. I know players probably don't put too much stock into it, but like it is stuff that they get asked about a lot. So yes, in short, we've transitioned the eras. We have no questions lingering about who's going to be here from this core. They're going to be here for a while. We're going to follow these guys. And that feels great. And then we're on, you know, the push for the play-in.
I think it's a real push too. I really do. I mean, obviously we've won three in a row here now. And so it's easy to be optimistic, but, and we got, you know, our schedule isn't that bad coming up. It's, you know, like you said, like at first I was like, it's rough. It's like, oh no, we got Dallas. We got like Golden State who are scrapping right now, but it's not like this. Like completely daunting, you know. You got some teams like Phoenix, which are like obviously very good teams, but they are starting to kind of like show a little bit, you know. I don't know if it's like later in the season or whatever. Maybe it's just the All-Star slump or whatever. But I think a couple of these are winnable games. Obviously,
yeah. I don't know. I look at it and I'm not like super okay. So let's just go through it really quickly here. It's Mavericks next. Okay, that's a tough game. That's tough. Warriors after that.
Golden State. Tough. Always a tough game, but not impossible.
Yeah. You know? Then it's Hornets. That's winnable. Then it's Pelicans. That's tough.
Pelicans are tough. Yeah.
That's maybe winnable. That's pretty tough. Probably.
The doors open.
Depends who's playing.
Yeah. Portland, obviously.
Portland, that's winnable. That's winnable. Denver's then it's Nuggets. Detroit. The Pistons game is apparently not winnable.
What
says the who? Pistons will beat us. Says the Detroit Pistons who beat us earlier in the year.
No, it's winnable. You know it is.
No, they're gonna.
And then you go us. Like, then you go like, and then you have back to back against Orlando.
Yeah. Then Kings Thunder. You know. Then it like lightens up a little bit. But
yeah. So but I agree that it's not like easy, no. But it's not the hardest.
No.
You know. So I think the door is open here for the Raptors to find their way into this play-in spot. And then what's the best case scenario? I mean, seven?
Sure. Listen, yes, that is the
we don't want eight.
Of the best case scenario.
I don't want to play the Celtics. So
Well, seven. Like at this point, you know, you're not winning the first round anyway, so it actually doesn't matter if you're paying. It doesn't actually matter if you're the 7 or 8 seed because it's really just about the reps, and so you might as well play the best team and get blown out and get angry about it.
Okay, that's a take, but I think it's better to play a team like Cleveland and actually maybe steal a game or two and be in a real series and feel the pressure that way. Because if you're getting blown out 2-3 games in a row, that's never good for your mental state. And to think that you were never in it to begin with is like, I don't know if that's great. Obviously it's good. I think to play in the playoffs period, it's good to play against great teams period. You get to see how people win and stuff like that. I think that is a real thing, but I do feel like playing against a team that you actually might be able to steal a game off of here and there is better.
Can I just talk about the whiplash that I'm feeling right now?
Because last week, us talking about being in the playoffs.
Last week we were just like, it's gonna take years and we're not ready for it. And this week we're picking potential playoffs.
Like, we're like, play in. I don't want to play the Celtics.
Actually, when we win the play in.
We're talking best case scenario here.
We're talking best case scenario. We're talking seeds. We're talking rankings.
For
this much to change in 1 week, I cannot wait to see where we're going to be next week. When we're like, oh, title contenders, all of a sudden, like, Miami was in the play-in and they went to the finals.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. It's alarming, to be honest. But hey, it's fun, right? Fun. Like,
it's more fun than the alternative,
right? Let's take a look around the larger league that we're in here, the National Basketball Association. I saw something that made me laugh out loud today, and it was LeBron tweeting about Bronny, about how people are talking about him, and LeBron goes, this is a direct quote from his tweet, which I think he's since deleted. But he goes, can y'all please just let the kid be a kid and enjoy college basketball? Right. Which is for sure true. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's just let him play college basketball. Says the guy who is like, Bronny could play on the Lakers today. He could play on it. Like, you can't have it both ways, LeBron. I know it's your kid, but you can't come out here telling us that this guy's NBA ready and then be like, please, can we just let him play in college?
Oh, he just wants to go to school. Like, can you just let him get to his Psych 101 course?
Yeah, exactly. He's got to experience all that universities have to offer.
He just get through one dorm year?
Please.
He wants to be a Don on the floor. it's absolutely like
LeBron. Come on, man.
Bronny James seems like, from what I can tell from the internet, like a really great kid that everybody likes.
Yeah,
he seems very well adjusted for being so famous. He seems to just work hard and want to play basketball. I think that there's an incredible amount of stress and pressure around this kid because his dad has said, I will play with my son and he will play in the NBA. And he's averaging like 4-6 points a game or something like that. And has fallen out. So like LeBron James said this because the mock drafts had Bronny James falling out of this draft entirely and probably having him declare in 2025 instead, having him return for another year at USC. And it's a classic. You can't have it both ways. You can't talk about your kid all the time and his NBA prospects and how ready he is to go and how he can play on the team today and then also turn around. But like, I feel like LeBron knows. I feel like this is setting
LeBron's a savvy media guy. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Setting the stage for for Bronny to return for another year of college, which is probably the right idea. Although I was thinking about it and I was looking at some of our draft picks and I was just like, well, you know, there is a team that's going to try to lure LeBron James by taking Bronny. Yes. So if Bronny did declare for this draft, he will be an NBA player. He will be on an NBA
Someone
roster
will pick him. Yes.
Next year. And then who knows? All bets are off as to what happens. I still don't see a scenario where like he gets drafted by like the Hornets or something. And then LeBron James is like, I am signing with the Hornets in the offseason. Like that's not happening. That's not what's going to happen.
he'll like force them to trade. He'll force the Lakers to trade for him and give up way too much.
I know, but like, you can't even, that's so hard to do even with like, and then like, is that what it's the manipulation of the dad with the kid going like, I will just do whatever I want with this. This child will come with me. I don't know. It's gotta be hard to be LeBron James' kid in a way. Right.
Yes, that's true. In a way. Yes. In a way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. In a way. In many ways, I bet it's dead easy. in many ways, I think it's fucking sweet. It's not too much to worry about, honestly. But yeah, no, in a way it is hard. Has there ever been a father-son NBA pairing? I actually didn't have time. I forgot to look it up, but we've had some in the Howes in hockey. We've had the Griffies in baseball. I bet serious money on that. It's never happened in the NFL, of course.
According to a very basic Google search, it has never happened in the NBA.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that would be, I'm sure, underwhelming.
Which makes a ton of sense.
If it were to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes a ton of sense. Like, basketball players don't play as long as, you know.
Yeah.
Especially this day and age when you like, you need to be, you need to
so
be
good.
So good to maintain.
Yes, exactly. Like,
you know, I don't know. 70s hockey. Sure. Yeah. They're just walking also around out there. Really.
I feel like I missed the discussion of how bad Bronny's name is, but like, maybe we're just not having that discussion, or did I miss it? Cause like, terrible name
at birth.
Yeah, like the name your kid Bronny. Is his name LeBron?
As well, I think he might be LeBron James Jr.
He might be a junior.
Yeah,
I feel like he's got to be a junior.
I think he's a junior.
Okay, well then.
But yeah, I don't know.
Well then in that case, I feel there's not a lot of discourse.
When a baby is born, there's not typically a lot of media discourse about whether or not their name is bad.
No, okay, that's fair. Honestly, that's fair.
It doesn't.
He is LeBron James Jr. Yes, he is. Okay, yeah, it doesn't. Okay, that's what I thought. Better.
Like, they're like, well, LeBron James had a baby last night, and we're bringing in Stephen A to talk about it. And he's like, this baby's name is bad. It's a bad name. He's got to change the name.
That's a very good Stephen A.
It's not a good Stephen A. I can do it when he, like, when he whispers.
Yeah. Yeah, says, yeah.
I do not care. You cannot name this baby Bronny.
So to be clear, I did think LeBron was his name, but I was like, but like Bronny as a bad name is a what? I think it's a terrible short version of that name. It's a bad nickname.
I kind of like
Bronny. I hate it.
Yeah.
No, it's terrible. You sound like you should be on a pirate ship or something. Like you sound like you should be sailing. Like I don't. Why do I think that? You should be like, you know, Victorian era pirate or something. Why do I think that?
It sounds like LeBron James if he's playing on a hockey team. And everyone's like, eh, Bronny. Yeah, Bronny.
Bronny.
Yeah, we passed it old Bronny over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Bronzy. Yeah. Bronzy.
Bronzy?
Bronzy? Bronzy's. I think Bronny.
Yeah. It would be Bronzy. It would be Bronzy.
It would be Bronze.
Bronny Bronzy. I don't hate Bronny. I think it like sounds good. At first, you know, it sounds maybe weird, but I think it's good. I think it's a good nickname. I think it's good.
I like that it's like he goes by Bronny James and he's not LeBron James Jr. That would put even more pressure on you to have the exact same name, I guess, even though he technically does have that name. But to be referred to as a separate name, I guess, is like somewhat better than the other option.
This name is the greatest name I've ever heard.
You've got even like good mannerisms down
here. Yeah, yeah. I watch a lot of Stephen A videos. I think he's so great. I just think he's the best. I don't care what anybody says. I think he's so entertaining.
Oh, man.
Leading first take, Bronny James, good name.
Let's move on to just talk about some impressive and fun stats with Chet Holmgren being the fourth player in NBA history to total 150 blocks and 100 three-pointers made in a season. That is very what a stat I like never thought I would see, basically, you know.
Can I talk about stats here?
What's going on? What do you got against these stats?
I don't have anything.
The combination of these two stats is a special thing, and I if you told me you know, as a kid playing NBA Jam, that someone would have, some player would have these stats in the future, I'd be like, that is insane. No way. I wouldn't believe you.
You'd be like, okay.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't think
that's what I'm saying.
I don't
think
that this is an insignificant achievement. I just think that we are starting to combine stats and go like, you know, this guy's a 45, 21 and 13. And, and then pick the stat that it goes in. I feel like we're really reaching back. Like, and I only say this too, because I'm going to pull it up now. Michael Grange had this tweet yesterday that, hang on, let me find it. We can cut this part out.
No, this is staying in. This is your rebuttal to me bringing up a very cool and fun stat by going, well, I'm going to read something that makes this sound dumb.
Okay. So he says, according to my basketball reference search, Scotty Barnes is the first person to have a triple-double with at least 21 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists, and 5 blocks since 1977. That is such an obscure collection and numbering of numbers that it goes like, nobody's done this since 1977. There's only 5 people who have ever done this thing. I just think that we're cherry-picking stats, and like, when they get obscure like this, like, then, and when the numbers get big, and when the two categories are so diametrically opposed, it's like, it is impressive, but I also go like, I have no context for this. I have no historical context for this.
Well, that's
this
the thing.
Means very little to me.
Because no one does this. This isn't a regular achievement to have this many three-pointers and this many, to be a guy who can get that many blocks and be a guy who can shoot that many threes. Obviously, that is the whole thing. That, why is it? It is impressive. What you just said, the Michael Grange thing about Scotty, yes, that is a little bit more of a thing where it's like, well, what if someone had 11 assists, therefore they fall out of this like elite club you're saying that Scotty is in.
And it was about blocks, but it's like what number?
Oh, it was a triple double with five blocks.
It was the whole thing combined. It was like,
if it's just a triple double with 5 blocks, then I think that is kind of impressive, because there's that other thing, didn't they, I saw the other day, that's like Wemby is the first guy to have like five in every stat, like something like that. It was like 5 blocks, 5 steals, 5 this, 5 that, 5 that, like in however many games or something like that. I didn't even really pay attention because his stats are all constantly being bandied around like that. So but I just think it's fun and cool to be like, oh shit, man, this is now a stat, this is now a combo of stats that we've only seen this with 3 other players before. And by the way, I couldn't find the other players. I looked, and because the stat combo is so weird, I tried like typing it in and looking, like I even looked under the tweet that it's mentioned in and stuff. I can't find it. So anyways, you know, blessed to you.
Combo who, very weird, almost made up, almost cherry picked to drive engagement.
You know what? It worked and I don't regret it.
I think that you look at these stats, and I think that that is very impressive. It's just when you put it into the historical context, for some reason, I just go like, I don't need it. It's fine. Whatever. When it's like, hey, Scotty Barnes is the first person to do this thing since 1977. I'm like, I didn't know this thing was a thing. And from 1977, I go, oh, okay. He's good. I get it. Is all I'm saying.
50 years almost. That doesn't impress you that no one's done that combination.
I've been waiting for 50 years. Specifically for this moment, for this thing to happen. I don't know. It's just a take I have about stats sometimes, where I feel like we're very we really try to cherry pick things to say that it hasn't happened in a long time, to communicate that somebody is good, when I can just look at the stats on their face and say, that's very impressive. I know they're good.
You know where you're right about this is that
in all ways.
No, not in all ways, incorrect. But If you follow, well, first of all, Sports Illustrated is a fucking mess because they have just AI writing all their articles and stuff.
I don't think that Sports Illustrated exists anymore.
And they now don't, or something like that. Like, yeah, but like literally earlier in the season, they still did. Mm-hmm. And it was, and they were had, and then they got found out that the AI was writing their articles and shit. But they were having all these tweets. And again, I guess it's because of the AI, but it was always like, Pascal Siakam achieves historical, has some sort of historical moment or something. And like, it would be like, there were so many tweets about like DeMar DeRozan in Chicago makes history in game against Pacers. And you're just like, what? And of course, when you first see that, you're like, what history is it? And it would always be some bullshit combination of stats that's like, who cares if this is the first time in history this has happened, right? He's the first player to get three blocks and, you know, four steals and also get a backcourt violation. It's like, that's nothing. So in that way, yes, to drive those clicks like that. But I think this is, I just think the Chet Holmgren one is a legitimate and cool one.
It is cool. I just feel like these stats are being weaponized against me to get me to click on shit.
It's all about, yes, it is about you also.
1,000%. Always. It's always about me. They're being personally weaponized against me to make me click on stuff and then make me scroll down through the whole article so they get their time on the webpage SEO stuff. Anyways, there's a whole other like sports media podcast we could do around all of this stuff. And I have so many takes.
Okay. You wanted to talk about the Clippers new uniforms.
Yeah, I did. I like the okay. So I always am fascinated when a franchise comes out with a new logo, because that doesn't happen that often. Teams tend to stick with logos for a very long time. But yep. The Clippers, they're moving into a new arena next year. Steve Ballmer has wanted to change up the look. And so I read this article by Zach Lowe, basically outlining that they brought in like a focus group. Ballmer was dead set on changing the name. He was like, this focus group is going to confirm that we should change the name of the team. Really? Everyone was like, you should not change the name of the team. They're sticking with Clippers, which I didn't even know. Like and I lived in Los Angeles for 3 years. I never really considered what a Clipper was.
Yeah, that's the thing with team names. They don't matter, really.
Yeah.
You know?
They don't matter. Lakes until, in Los Angeles. Yeah, they don't matter until you make them literal. So a Clipper is a type of ship. Okay. It is associated very much with San Diego, which is where the Clippers originated from. Well, they were from Buffalo, and then they went to San Diego, and then they went to LA. So their new logo is of a boat. It is of a Clipper. And it's supposed to be, they said that it's supposed to be like coming at you full steam, and it just looks, but boats are slow. So this boat does not look like it's coming at you full steam. It just kind of looks like a boat. It's very sleek. It seems very corporate-y. It doesn't connect me at all to the city of Los Angeles, which is what I thought that they were going to try to do. But so it doesn't feel like a Los Angeles thing either. Not that the Lakers do either, because they came from Minnesota and were called the Lakers, and that made sense because Minnesota has many lakes.
Yes.
And then the Clippers came from San Diego, which has these boats, so that makes sense for San Diego. LA, the ultimate transplant city. I guess it makes sense that they would have things associated with other cities as their team names. So it's a boat. The logo, I think, is not good. The jerseys, however, are quite good.
The jerseys are great.
Situation where the logo is very bland and boring, and the jerseys seem very cool. They are the throwback to the, I think in the 2000s, it's like the early Blake Griffin years. I think those were the jerseys that they were wearing. It's the classic Clippers across the front. It looks really nice. It's not too. It's I don't know. I think it looks great.
It's good. It's clean. It's the same colors as now, but yeah, I don't know. I like them a lot. I think they're great.
It's clean. It's classic. It makes you it gives the Clippers some sort of like history. It feels like it feels classic in a way.
Avoiding the terrible racism. Yes, I agree.
Avoiding the entire franchise history. Yes. Yes. Donald Sterling. Yes.
Yeah.
All of the injuries. Yes. Just being an absolute.
The years of being the biggest joke in the league.
The worst franchise of all time.
Were literally the laughing stock of all of sports in North America. I like the Clippers were a. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to derail you, but they were just a joke.
No, totally. And so, like, you know, maybe this is a boat forward, you know? This is setting sails to calmer seas, I think is what I'm saying. Anyways, bad logo, good jersey. I've never seen that happen before.
It's an interesting thing. Yeah, I also do not like the logo. I think it's like
it's a snooze.
They did that thing where it's like simplified. It's all the same. It's all one color. Like the whole logo is not all one color, but the boat is just blue and the negative space is white. And it's like there's like a little bit of like it looks kind of like a basketball on the bottom, which is like, okay, it doesn't look like a basketball though. So what is that? I don't know. There's people on TikTok who like take a logo from a current sports team and then they like change it to be like updated and fresh or like whatever. And I guarantee you there's 100 of those that are better than this, because this is not, it's too, like you said, it's too corporate-y. It doesn't feel, it looks like a logo for like a law firm or something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I just can't picture kids going like, that's, you know, kids who live in Los Angeles going like, that's what I want to wear. I want to wear a hat that has that Clippers logo on it.
No, yeah. And also you said that Clippers is a boat, and I like somewhere in my brain I knew that. So when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, of course. But for some reason, I think for all time I had the idea that the Clippers were named after a bird. I don't know why did I think a Clipper was a bird?
I thought they were named after a barbershop.
yeah, I thought they're named after a barber tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Anyways, yeah. Okay, I think bad name. What's the best jerseys in the NBA right now? Quick, off the top of your head. We're big jersey guys, so we always, I know we always pay attention to that sort of thing.
I still like the Hawks jerseys. I think the Hawks jerseys really? Are super slick and clean. I love their color combinations. I love the home, and I love the away. And I love their alternate. The Hawks. I've thought that for a while, too. I've been like, man, I really kind of want to get a Hawks jersey. I think that they just look really good. That's off the top of my head. I still like the classic gold Lakers jersey.
Yeah.
I don't like their purple ones right now. Whenever they incorporate like black into it, I'm just kind of like, nah. But I don't mind the Black Mamba jerseys actually.
You know what jersey I'm finding myself surprisingly not hating is the neon green Pelicans. Like the right where it's the NOLA and it's in neon green and it's like black. For some reason, I'm largely very against like neon colors in jerseys, no matter what sport you're in. But for some reason, I keep whenever I see those, I'm like, you know what? I don't hate that. I kind of like it. It sets them apart from every other team. Like no other team has a color like that. And I like the NOLA, like. Mm-hmm. There's just, it's very like when you have jerseys that say like the worst version of it, I feel like, is when the Tampa Bay Lightning had the jersey and just said Bolts, or like the Senators had Sens, and there's some others like that in the NBA, but NOLA's not that to me. Like that's very like, that's the city. That's like, you know, anyways, I really like it. I think sneakily those are not my favorite jerseys, but I like them a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, and I know we just spent time here praising the Clippers' new jerseys, but I don't like it when the Clippers' jerseys just say Clips.
No, exactly. That's exactly what I don't like. That's it. Exactly.
Yeah, two nicknames. I don't like nicknames on the jersey.
This might be the end of the show. We're going to see. Because we're going to try to do something here, and if it doesn't work, I'm just going to cut it out. So okay, great. So no pressure. So let's do this thing. Let's do this Towers thing. Let's try it out. If it's a bummer, don't worry. Okay, here we are. Towers. We're going to start. Brendan has a secret category for me. I have a secret category for him. He's going to try and we're both going to be like asking if we can have players until we get enough that we can guess what the category is. Brendo, take out your earphones. I will tell the listeners what the category is you are trying to guess. Okay. So take out your headphones. Okay. Okay. Can you hear me? No, right? Okay, good. Brendan's category is NBA League MVPs. Okay. All right. Come on back.
Earphone back in.
Earphone back in. Okay, Brendan, you do the same thing, except I will take my headphones out. Go.
Okay, Andy Hall, who cannot hear me anymore, is trying to guess rookies of the year historically in the NBA. Okay, you're good.
Okay, great. I had to like hold my headphones pretty far away from my head because I could still hear them kind of. Yeah. Okay, I did not hear it though. All right. Okay, we'll see if this works. Who knows? It might be a complete disaster. All right, Brendo, feel free to start.
Can I have Kevin Durant, please?
Yes, you can have Kevin Durant.
Okay.
KD, you get him. And it doesn't have to be current players. I know I mentioned that earlier, but it doesn't have to be. We're jettisoning all those weird things we said that haven't since been cut out of the podcast. Okay. Can I have Michael Jordan?
Can you have Michael Jordan? Yes, you can.
Okay. Okay. All right. I've got MJ. You've got KD. All right. You're up.
Can I have Russell Westbrook?
Russell Westbrook. Yes, you can have Russ. Yeah. You got him. And wouldn't it be funny if we did choose the same things? only the listeners know at this point if that is in fact what happened.
Oh man. Let me even see if it's possible. Without giving anything away.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Let's keep going. Can I have can I have can I have Kawhi?
No.
Okay. Okay. I cannot have Kawhi Leonard. All right. Okay. Okay. You're up.
Can I have James Harden?
Yes.
Okay, so I have Kevin Durant, Westbrook, and Harden. They obviously have all played together in a couple of different situations. So it's like, it can't be vague enough that it's players who played together. But is it like an OKC thing? Is it a Nets thing? Well, let's find out.
Okay. Okay, so I've got MJ, and I don't have Kawhi. Okay, interesting. Can I have, let's maybe try it. Can I have Kobe?
Let me see. Can you have Kobe? No.
Okay. All right. I've only got Michael. That's all I've got so far.
Yeah. Okay. Can I have Ben Simmons?
I don't think so. No. Okay. You can't have Ben Simmons. No, that would be wild. Imagine. Listeners.
That rules out Nets players.
Okay. Can I have... can I have Vince Carter?
Yes.
Okay. That helps a lot. All right.
Can I have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
No. Okay. Cannot have Shai. Can I have... Hang on. Can I have? Ooh. Can I have Blake Griffin?
Let me check. My instinct says yes, you can.
Okay. All right. That helps a ton.
You think you got it?
I think I got it.
Okay. What is
it? But I'm gonna make another. I'm gonna make one more guess just to lock it in.
Okay.
Okay. Pressure's on.
I don't know. Can I have can I have Giannis?
Yes, you can have Giannis, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I have Mac McClung?
No.
Oh, okay. That throws out what I had then. All right.
Honestly, the honest thing is throwing me now. Oh, wait. Okay. Hang on. Actually, wait. I think I maybe know. Can I have, can I have Magic Johnson?
Yes, certainly.
You can. Okay. I think I know what it is.
Do you want to guess?
Am I picking USA team basketball members?
No.
Oh, what? Are you kidding me?
No, you are not. No, you're not.
Oh, of course, Giannis wouldn't be there.
Giannis wouldn't be on that team.
I was just like, oh, okay, I got it. Giannis, the USA basketball. No, that's so stupid. Okay,
and I'm obviously not picking dunk contest winners. Wow. Okay. All right. I like that we like thought we had it though, both of us. That's promising for the game. Okay. What about this? Can I have Giannis?
No, you cannot.
Okay. Now I have to look something up. What? Okay. You can go. I'm just looking.
Can I have Michael Jordan? I don't even know what I'm picking anymore.
You can have Michael Jordan, though.
Are these like highest scoring people on their teams?
No.
Points per game?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. MJ, Vince, Blake Griffin. Can I have Larry Bird? No. Never mind. Never. No. I mean, you can answer this, but it's not what I thought. I've already ruled that out.
I mean, you can have Larry Bird if you want Larry Bird.
Okay, I do want Larry Bird, so... Okay. I've got Michael, Vince, I got Blake Griffin, I got Larry Bird. See, I thought you were definitely getting mine. I thought you had it, like, in the bank.
Is it? Okay, I think I might know it now.
Okay. What's guess?
Ask is it? It's NBA MVPs.
Hey,
there we go.
There you go.
Great the job. Westbrook thing threw me because I was like, oh, I don't think that he was like, I just forget it. Like,
me too. That's when I was like, wait, did he? I'm like, I think he did, but I'm not 100% sure. And then, yeah, for sure. Okay. And let me get one more. Let me ask one more thing. And then if I don't get it, I don't get it. Can I get this one's I don't know what this is. I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even have an idea anymore. Can I get Nikola Jokic?
Let me see. Can you get no, you cannot.
Can't have Jokic, so I would have. I don't know what even to guess here. Is it players who have? No, it's not. It can't be that because Kobe's down here. I don't know. I give up.
It's rookies of the year.
Oh, dang!
You're all players who won rookie of the year.
That's a good one. I should have been able to pick up on that. Very good job. Great job.
I thought you had it. I thought you. I thought you knew.
I was thinking of awards too, and for some reason, Rookie of the Year didn't come into my mind for some reason. Or you know what? I mean, weirdly enough, I don't. I always forget that Vince won Rookie of the Year, but that's not really why. I just wasn't thinking about it. But I do always forget that Vince Carter won that. All right, there you go. There's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Brendo, what do you got coming up? Anything?
Same thing we talk about every time. Space Jans, let's go. Space Janitors, our web series coming May 4th. Back. May 4th. Check it out. Space Janitors on YouTube. And yeah, other than that, I got nothing. I'm cooking a pork tenderloin tonight. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, you got to get out of here. And I'm featured on my wife's podcast, The Funny Thing About Ghosts. If you like ghost stories and stuff, go listen to that show. There's she got a bunch of good guests coming up. She's had a bunch of guests like Colin Mockery and Ann Pornell and a bunch of funny people and a bunch of good comedians. So check that one out. The Funny Thing About Ghosts. All right. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Remember to hit subscribe down there for the Raptors Republic YouTube channel if you're watching on YouTube. Big thanks to FanDuel as always. You know, thanks for being the big sponsor, and we'll see everybody next time. See ya.
Bye.